Okay, we are here today to interview Henry Gretham, a Becker County farmer of 43 years from near Detroit Lakes. Mr. Gretham, how old are you right now?
I'm 93.
93, huh? Do you mind telling me where you were born?
I was born in Doolin.
Oh, where did your parents come from? Did they born here too?
Parents come from?
Yes.
They came from Goodyear County.
Goodyear, I see.
Southern Minnesota.
When did their parents come over here to the United States? Or who came over from a foreign country? Do you remember?
Well, they came, my dad was came there when he was 34.
I see.
And they were there for 2 years, and they homesteaded at Doolin. They were, and they had six children. And I'm the youngest of the boys. There was three boys of us and three girls. The girls all turned out to be teachers. And my son, he was in Korea as a paratrooper at that time. And my mother died when I was about 25, I guess.
I see.
And my dad died, let's see, 5 years later. And we bathed it in the summer or in the winter. And in the summer we had a housekeeper for 3 or 4 years.
You and your dad did?
Huh?
You and your dad?
Yeah.
I see. Then you farmed at Doolin?
Yes.
Okay.
It's all in Doolin. And then he died.
Uh-huh.
And we farmed about 2 years after that. Then we were in depression, you know, and
yeah,
and Saw Thistle took over the all of Baker and Clay County.
How big a farm did you have there at Doolin?
It was just 80 acres.
Just 80 acres. Did you have some cattle and horses then?
What?
Did you have cattle and horses?
Yeah, we had cattle and horses. No, not horses, just cattle and pigs. And
I see.
And
did you just graze the cattle?
All milk cows.
Oh, okay. Do you sell the milk then? Did you sell your milk?
We sold the milk until the creamery quit taking it.
Was that at Doolin?
Yeah.
I see.
No, that was at Detroit Lakes.
Did they send someone out to pick it up, or how did you get it from your farm to...
Yeah, they a fella picked it up and hauled it to the creamery in Detroit.
What did he use to pick it up with? What kind of a vehicle?
Oh, that was a big truck, that's all I know about it. It wasn't a bulk tank.
I see.
Picked up the cans.
Yeah.
And after that, we sold it to Audubon for a while. And when they quit taking it, I sold the cows.
That was all?
Yeah,
there was no place
to sell
it? That
was all the cows. After that, I built a lot of houses around around Floyd Lake.
Oh.
We lived just a mile and a half from Floyd Lake.
I see. You moved from Doolin then to Floyd Lake at that point? Did you sell your farm at Doolin then?
No, I lost it.
Oh.
I don't think there was over five farmers in that township that wasn't lost.
What year was that? Can you tell me?
Well, it was during... well, you'll have to figure that out yourself, I guess. It's,
okay.
It was during the Depression so bad that
during the
grain
30s,
wasn't then. Worth anything. Uh-huh. And we caught a lot of wild hay. And wait a minute, when I was 9 or 10, neighbor come along and he wanted to know if I'd herd his cattle until uh-huh. the pasture got up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And he'd give me $5 for 2 weeks. And I took him up on it.
$5 for 2 weeks. And yeah. You were making pretty good money then, I suppose.
And I thought I could try to retire after that.
Well, that's
and cool. And then I was afraid of snakes and skunks and thunder and lightning.
Uh-huh.
And I prayed every day I wasn't going to meet them. I didn't. Right after the 2 weeks, I came home, and I told my mother about it, and she said that you'd better pray for rain because we haven't had it for 2 weeks, and the ground, the field is getting dry. And it wasn't much to write about until... I was about 14, I believe. I quit school.
Do you know where you went to school? Where did you go to school at?
We had, it was on School District 68.
Country school then?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And my brother went to Glen to milk cows at the Barnes Farm there. And then I was 3 years younger, but I had to take a man's job.
Yeah. That's common in those times, wasn't it?
So then we kept on farming until my father and mother died. Mm-hmm. And the other heirs wanted me to buy out the farm, and I didn't. And it was a mortgage on it before. And I couldn't meet the payment, so I let it go.
I see.
So that's the time I moved to Moorhead.
Oh, you moved to Moorhead for a while too then?
Huh?
What time, when year did you move to Moorhead then, you know?
What year? Let's see. I believe that was in 35.
What did you do in Moorhead then?
Well, the first year in the winter, I went in the fall. I worked for the city till spring, till the sewer got so high I couldn't work in there anymore.
What
laid
did
bricks
you?
And oh. cemented in there. And then I got a job with Jack Lamb hauling coal.
Lamb Coal Company, wasn't that the name of the place or something like that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then he had a 1,100-acre farm. He wanted me to manage that. And I went there, and I was there for 15 years.
Where was that located?
That was 2 miles north of Dilworth.
Okay.
Right near Moorhead there.
What did you raise on that farm then?
Oh, we raised Aberdeen Angus cattle and hogs.
I see.
But it was mostly grain.
Uh-huh.
And the farm was run down when I took when I started to manage it. And then when I left, why, it was very good farm again. We summer followed a lot. And fertilize some of it.
How many?
And then there was another fellow that wanted to rent the farm, and they thought that was a better deal. So they rented out the farm, and now that's the time I went to Moorhead.
How many people did you have helping you on that farm then?
during the spring nor the summer, just the two of us. And of course, when it comes shocking and thrashing and all that, that's the time we thrashed. We didn't have a combine or anything until later years. And that time, we usually kept one man beside myself.
Did you work with a neighbor to thrash then, or did you do it all on your own?
We had, it wasn't a shock run before we got the combine.
Did you do all the work of the thrashing on your own farm, or did you and your neighbor get together and thrash and do all that together, or how did you do that?
Well, it was about three more neighbors in the shock run, and I got a thrash machine at that time, and we had a tractor. In fact, we had two tractors.
Okay.
And I run the machine and the tractor. And
what did you do with the grain when you harvested it? Did you store it on the farm, or did you sell
it?
Well,
all we had room for, we stored it there. The next went through Goldberg's elevator.
Okay. Did you feed some of that you stored then to your cattle and so forth?
Yeah, we fed a lot of corn to the cattle and also grain. We had a feed mill there to grind it with.
How did you handle the corn? Did you shock it in the fall, or did you thrash it, or how did you handle your corn?
It did what?
How did you handle your corn?
The corn?
Yes.
Well, some went into the silo, and the other was husked. We had a two-row corn, what they call them, corn husker.
Yeah.
And we stocked that. I know we had snow fence, round snow fence, you know, all over the place.
Then you stored the corn with it on the cob?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we sold that to the West Fargo stock, what was the name of that company that bought cattle at that time and slaughtering cattle?
Oh, I can't recall it either. But that was at West Fargo, though.
Well,
huh?
That's what they got. They had their own mill there to grind it.
Okay.
To ground the cobs and all.
Good. And then, what time of your life did you get married?
What?
When did you get married?
That was in. Let's see. I was born in 91, and I was 28 years old. See what that was when I got married.
Must have been about 1920?
Yeah, that's pretty close to it.
Okay. Very good. How many children did you have then?
We had four.
Four?
Okay. Three girls and one boy. And the girls, they all turned out to be teachers.
Are they all living in the area?
Huh?
Are they all living near here?
Just Dorothy. She lives at Moorhead.
Where are the other two then?
And there's one at Breckenridge. Her husband is a principal there.
Okay.
And another one that lives in Virginia.
Minnesota?
No.
Or the state of Virginia?
And he's retired.
Okay. How about your son then?
Well, he turned out to be a watchmaker.
I see. Where is he?
He was in Korea at the fighting there as a paratrooper. When he come back, he took a course at watchmaking he died when he was 55.
So he's no longer living. How about your wife? Is she still living?
No, she died she died in 75.
Okay. I understand you live with your daughter in the winter.
Yeah.
And then you live at a farm in Detroit Lakes now in the summertime. Is that
yes,
right?
That's right.
What do you raise on your farm in Detroit Lakes?
Well, I've rented up last year, but the fellow didn't pay his rent, so I'll have to farm it again.
Things a little tough.
It isn't much. It's lots, mostly alfalfa.
I see. How many acres have you got?
It's 27.
27 acres.
And the rest is pasture and timber.
Okay. Do you have buildings there then, a house? And
yes.
Do you have a barn or anything else?
Well, the barn isn't too much. It's starting to fall down.
Okay. And you bought this how long ago? 43 years ago you bought this farm?
The farm? Oh, no, I bought that 35 years ago while I was still working at Lamb's.
Okay. So then when you left Lamb's, you went to Detroit Lakes, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I got it, understood. That would have been 35 years ago. Can you tell me what it was like when you first came there, what you did and what you saw?
Well, it wasn't, the only kept us living was the milk. And I got on Social Security at that time. I was over 65.
I see.
And then I did all the carpenter work I could handle at Floyd Lake.
Okay.
And some other places.
How many cows did you start out with?
I think the most I had was 7, but they were really good cows.
And that's how you lived, is on the income from the cows and your Social Security?
Yes.
You didn't sell any other crops off of the farm?
No.
Okay.
Used it all for feed.
Okay. You have tractors or anything like that that you used?
Yeah. I had 2 tractors. I bought one for $175, a John Deere.
What model?
Model A.
Okay.
And I sold that about a year ago. I got $175 back of it. And then I bought a B.
Okay.
And that's what I'm using now.
What do you use your tractor for?
Well, we can cultivate corn and plow. And I did a lot of sawing timber.
Do you have a circle saw or something like that? Okay.
You saw that helped a lot.
Yeah. Do you sell the wood too then?
No, I never did, but some of the neighbors did.
You use it yourself, the wood you cut?
Well, we quit using wood. I couldn't handle the logs, so we used oil.
Okay.
But of course, when they're not there during the winter, why, it don't take much.
Yeah.
Just for the early spring and late fall or early fall up to use oil.
This has kind of been a retirement farm here at Detroit Lakes then, right?
Now it is.
Do you recall about how many years you spent at Yulin on the farm?
In Yulin?
Yes. You have any idea of
Let's see, I was there about 35 years.
Okay. You must have seen a bunch of changes in 35 years at Yulin then.
Seen what?
A lot of changes.
Oh, yes. I'd been back to the place. They got roads and did a lot of drainage. Mm-hmm. I lived north of Yulin 4.5 miles, and it was all prairie and sloughs. And it was the homesteads that was taken before, you know, they were picked out before my dad got to get one.
Your dad homestead that piece of property, or did he purchase it?
Yeah, he homesteaded it.
And that's how he got it, just by living on it?
Yes.
Okay. And was there a limit to the amount of land you could get that way?
What?
Was there any limit to the amount of land you could get that way?
No, you couldn't get more than a quarter.
More than a quarter.
Some did, in the earlier days, they got what they called a tree claim.
Okay.
We planted trees. They had to have a certain amount of trees. And they got another quarter for that.
Okay.
Very good. But the land wasn't too good there. When you broke up a piece of new land, you could smell it for a long ways, sour soil. And we had lots and lots of rain.
Do you remember who your neighbors were up there? What were the names?
The neighbors?
Yes.
Well, Peter Evanson was the closest one.
Uh-huh. Anyone else you can recall?
And the neighbor changed so often there. The Norwegians sold their, it was entirely a Norwegian community.
Okay.
And they sold out and went to North Dakota.
Why did they sell out?
Well, they could get land in North Dakota and Homestead, you know, and towards the western part, and they went there and they did real well.
What kind of price per acre did they get when they sold out then?
Around $20 an acre.
Okay.
Well, if it was a good house, it got to be probably $4,000.
How about their price of grain and stuff at that time? Can you tell me about what grain sold for in those days?
Oh, it was terrible. It was just 1 year that we got. That was during the war. They sold so much wheat from to other countries that they was running short. They also talked about getting wheat from Canada and United States in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went up to $2 a bushel.
Then that was after the Depression then, right?
Yeah, that was after the Depression.
Okay.
But that lasted for about 2 years, and after that it went right down.
Yeah. Did you have a church in your community up there?
Yes, we had two churches, but they united, so we had just one after that.
What
but
church?
Another church again called the Synod Church.
Were they Lutheran?
That's still going.
What kind of church were they? Were they Lutheran or Catholic or Baptist? Or?
That was the United Lutheran Church that we joined with.
Okay.
I was trustees for that for about 6 years, I guess.
Okay. Did you hold any other offices in church?
Yeah, that's what I mean. What they call them?
Trustee?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's what it is.
Okay. How about your wife and your children? Were they active in church at that point?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a Sunday school that the kids went to every Sunday?
Not Sunday school. We taught the kids at home for Sunday school.
Okay.
And we lived too far from town, you know, to drive in for Sunday school.
Okay. How about when they got to confirmation age? Did you teach them confirmation too then?
Yeah, they were all confirmed in that church.
Did you teach them?
Yes.
Okay. You and your wife, I suppose?
Well, my wife, she was a Methodist.
Oh.
Before she was married, but then she took lessons in the Lutheran church. And she was confirmed with the rest of the gang.
Oh, okay.
I'd been confirmed a long time before that.
Very good.
And we had... We used to raise potatoes there. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, good.
And then they formed the Potato Growers Association, and I took in around 1,500 bushel.
Did you sell them as an association then, or?
Yes.
Okay.
I got $1.95 for the whole business.
That was big money in those days, wasn't it? Did you have a place there that you loaded them, or how did you...
No, we had to haul them into town.
And then you loaded them at a siding?
Yeah, just as we picked them.
What did you load them into?
Huh?
Did you load them into box cars or open cars, or how did you sell them?
No, they. When I was hauling, they went into the basement. They had a potato warehouse there.
Oh, okay.
And I know I'd get up at 4 in the morning and dig potatoes until I thought they had the pickers had enough.
Yeah.
And then when the sacks were filled, I put two baskets in the sack. And I started to haul to town with one team trailing behind the other. And sometimes I'd come back at 10 o'clock at night, waiting, still in line, you know.
You make one trip a day then?
Yeah.
One trip a day. Did you have a tractor or horses to dig potatoes?
It was all horses at that time.
You dug potatoes with horses, huh?
Yeah.
Who picked them then? Did you hire people or did your family
pick?
Yeah,
we hired people to do it.
How much did you pay? Do you recall?
Oh, all the ways. It depends on how thick the potatoes were. All the way from 3 to 10 cents a bushel.
And there was 2 bushel to a bag, right?
Oh, just 2 baskets.
2 baskets.
They held about 80 pounds.
Okay.
And they got so much for a basket, I believe. No, they got so much bushel.
Okay.
And the sacks were called the bushels, you know, but they bushel. Got good measure.
Did you, when you got to town, have to empty the bags, or did you store them in the bag?
No, they were empty just as we pulled them, as we loaded them in.
Okay. Then how did they get sold? Who sold them when you hauled them into that warehouse? Did the association sell them, or did you individually sell them?
No, the association sold them that one year. That's all it's lasted.
Oh, that's okay.
Because I know they hauled a whole train load down to Florida, where they used them for seed.
Oh.
And but somebody had got ahead of that train. And the potatoes that we got, they tell us they all rotted right in the car.
Is that why your association broke up then? It went
yes.
Broke? Okay. What else can you tell me about that potato thing?
Potato?
Yeah, were there any people that had hard feelings about losing that then? Or did everybody pretty well accept it? Or?
Well, I remember one year potatoes were $7 a hundred. And the neighbor said that if they're worth $7 to somebody else, they're worth that to me, and he planted them. And the next year they wasn't worth picking.
Too many potatoes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens in farming all the way down the line, doesn't it?
That's what happened to the wheat growers in North Dakota, I guess.
Have you ever been active in politics?
No, not anything to speak of.
You've never been involved in township government
no.
or county government? In
no,
any way?
I had too many offices to take care of. I was a treasurer for the cooperative creamery in Newland.
Uh-huh.
And I was treasurer for the school district.
Were you on the school board and the creamery board then too?
Yeah.
The treasurer of those?
Okay. Yeah.
When you were on the treasury of the creamery, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how many times did you fellows meet as a board then at the creamery? Did you meet once a week, once a month?
Truck and cream, you mean?
No, how often did your board meet?
What?
How often did the board on the creamery meet?
Oh, probably once a month. Depends upon how, what we had to do.
What did you do as a board?
Well, just to decide whether to close the creamery or keep it going.
Was that a monthly decision?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have to hire people and fire people and stuff to try and keep it going, or?
No, I didn't have much to do with that because all I had to do was to make out their checks. And when they sold the creamery, I got the whole books and caboodle. And I know it put a notice in the paper that everyone that had a share to let me know. Mm-hmm. And I paid them a certain amount of what we got for the creamery, you see.
How long did you have a creamery there? How many years?
Do you have any idea? It was about 10 years, I believe, or more.
Did you help organize and start the creamery
yes.
then?
Yes.
Okay. Did you hire a manager then to run it for you?
Well, we had several. Sometimes the creamery would stop, and then we'd have to hire a new butter maker. They just made butter, you know.
Oh, how many people worked there then?
How many people was what?
How many people worked in the creamery?
Just one.
Just that one person?
Yeah.
Okay. Then everybody brought the cream in and sold it to you?
Yes.
What did you sell the butter then?
I don't know where the butter was shipped to.
I see. What did you do then when you raised cattle and you had this milk? You took the cream off and brought it to the creamery. What did you
yes.
do with the milk?
We separated the milk at home and fed the skim milk to calves and the pigs and mm-hmm. all that.
Did you ever hold back any cream for your own use?
Oh, yes.
Your family?
But later, we just, they put it up in pound bags, and we get, when we got our check, why, we got 2 pounds of butter, took home. We got the check twice a month.
What kind of income did that produce for you then? How many dollars? Any idea?
Well, selling cream, it didn't amount too much. Probably $6-7 a week.
Was that enough to live on, or did you have to sell other things to make a living?
Well, we had eggs and pigs and other junk stuff, you know, you could sell it.
Where did you sell your eggs then?
What?
Where did you sell the eggs at?
Well, the creamer bought them too.
What did they do with them?
Well, they shipped them somewhere, so I don't know where.
You sold the eggs then somewhere other than the
yes,
community?
They went out of town.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a lot of chickens.
Okay. You said you had pigs, too. Do you know where you sold them?
Well, my brother-in-law had a butcher shop in Newland, and when it got down to 40 below, he'd have to call me and tell me to butcher a pig.
Oh.
And the pig was pretty near frozen by the time I got into town with it. Of course, that was just a small town. I don't think it was over 200 inhabitants there.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember the farm programs and things that went on in early years?
The Farmers Union, you mean? That's only...
Well, that's... Yeah. Did you
well,
ever involved
that was
in
going
those?
Strong there for a while.
Okay. Were you a member of it?
Yes, I had a... What did I have? Yeah, I was stricter with that, too.
Oh. Okay.
That's why... I got the books to pay him off when we sold the creamery.
Oh, the Farmers Union was involved with the creamery?
Not necessarily.
I see. Were there any other farm organizations like Farm Bureau or?
Well, they had a Farm Bureau there, but it didn't amount to anything.
Okay. How about the ASC office and the government? Did they have you tell you what to raise and stuff?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me anything that you recall about any of those years that?
Well, at Detroit Lakes, I was allowed to plant an acre and a half of wheat, so I never bothered.
When you were at Ulan, did they have programs then, too?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you were there during the war years, were you, in the 40s? Were you at Ulan in the 40s?
Yes.
During the war, during World War II?
Yes.
Did you have gas shortages, and did you have to get...
Yes, we had tire... what you call it, the...
Rationing?
Yes. And also flour.
Yeah.
We used barley flour and mixed with the wheat flour. And tires was the most we had trouble with. Couldn't get them.
Did they have a priority list or something, or how would you find out when one was available? How would you find out when a tire was available?
Well, you had to get signed paper before you could get a tire.
Okay, where did you get that paper from?
Somebody in town there, I don't know what they call them.
Okay. How about for fuel? Did you have trouble getting fuel in those days?
Yeah, it was gas rationing.
You had to have coupons?
And we didn't drive enough to bother us any.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
Just went to town once a week.
Do you remember when World War II started?
Yes.
You can remember pretty much what happened, what farming was like during the war?
Oh, yes. I got to be a 4-H. Because I was farming, so I didn't have to go to the First World War. Okay. After that, I was too old, you see.
Were there a lot of changes in farming during the war?
Oh, yes, there was.
Can you tell me what some of those changes were? Was it harder farming during the war? Was it better? Or
no, I can't remember just what they were. We were struggling so hard to make a living on the farm that you didn't bother too much about those things.
You just kept plugging away every day,
yeah.
Huh? Okay. You said something about 4-H. Were you involved in 4-H?
No.
Oh, okay. Were your kids?
No, I don't think so. No, they wasn't.
Was there anything like scouts or anything like that in your area?
Well, my son was in the 4-H. He got and bought a sow from successful farming. It's a paper called that, you know.
Yes.
And the sow had 8 pigs. And we kept them till they were big enough for butchering.
Did he enter him in the fair or anything like that?
No, he never took him to the fair.
Okay. Did you have a good county agent to help you out during those years?
Have what?
A county extension agent?
Well, yes. There was one fellow I asked if he knew anything about what they call that, not fertilizer, but lime, not lime either, sulfur.
Sulfur, okay.
And you call gypsum.
Okay.
And I asked him if he thought that was any good to put on the farm there. Well, he said he didn't know. His best thing to know is to try it. And I tried it, and I run short right in the middle of the field for about half an acre. And he come out there and took a picture of it.
What happened then?
Oh, it was so much difference that you could see it from a half a mile.
Was the gypsum better?
Yeah.
It helped your soil.
And we're still short on gypsum at Detroit Lakes, but this was a Dulham.
Okay.
And he said he'd used it for demonstrating what sulfur would do, or gypsum. And that would be quite a record, too. It's just 17 pounds of sulfur and 100 pounds of gypsum.
Who was this fellow? Was he a person that told you this? Who was he? Was he a salesman?
That was the county agent.
Oh, that was the county agent.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go to him for advice on other things too?
Yes.
Then? Did he give you advice on when you were cattle problems or?
No, not cattle. We have to go to the veterinary for that.
Okay. Mostly just crops then.
Yeah. That sulfur was really good. I know I bought 500 pounds. There were, I think I paid $50 for it.
Did you do that every year then after that?
No, I put on about 150 pounds and that lasted for about 3 years.
Did you cover your whole farm then eventually?
No, just for alfalfa. It don't work for grain.
Oh, okay.
I know that alfalfa, it was so, it stood about that high and you couldn't see where you would mow it because it stood right up until you came back with the tractor on the other and cut the other round. That's packed it down a little, you know. But it was really good.
Really thick then, too, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you see the map of Minnesota, it'll show you Wadena and down towards Minneapolis and out where I am, that where you need sulfur or gypsum.
Mm-hmm. How about herbicides? Did you ever spray any of your crops?
Yes, we not for that. We spray for mustard, mm-hmm. and Canadian thistle.
Mm-hmm. Use 2,4-D?
Yes.
Okay.
We can't get it anymore, though.
No. How about for bugs? Did you ever have grasshoppers and stuff like that?
Well, we had one at Moorhead. I remember we sprayed the alfalfa field at Moorhead. We had eight acres of alfalfa there on Lamb's farm.
Yeah.
And after we cut the grain, while we sprayed, cut the grass, we sprayed the for grasshoppers, and it killed every one of them. They had nothing else to eat, you know.
Yeah.
And it was bran mixed with the arsenic.
Arsenic in it, huh?
I know we had a sack left, and one of the two of the steers got into it. I just came home in town from town, and they were standing there with their mouths slobbering and staggering, but they never died. I got them in time.
How did you spray that arsenic? Was it a dust?
Well, we had the hind end of a Ford. I had a welder at that time. And we stuck the rod straight up and down, cut it off there and put a fan on it, and put a oil drum on top of that, open on one side so we could throw it in, and that's the way we sprayed it.
Use the fan to blow it out into the field?
Yes. Uh-huh. It sprayed about 30, 40 feet.
Uh-huh. You come in bags in them, when you dropped it in there and broke the bag, then it did spray
well,
out?
Well, we had it in a trailer back of this sprayer, and we shoveled it in.
Oh, okay.
Those bags were pretty heavy, you know, with the brand and the arsenic in them. I don't know what else they had.
That's the only encounter you ever had with grasshoppers in that was bad?
Yeah, that's the last I've seen of them. Never had them since.
Okay. You never ever lose a crop where you had a crop that you had a crop failure?
No, they didn't bother the field.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. How about other things? Did you ever have a drought where you lost your crop or hail that hailed you out or anything like
no,
that?
No, we never hailed out either.
You were lucky then in your lifetime.
Yes, I guess so.
Very lucky. Most people lost one somewhere along the line. So, how about when you were farming, did you have to borrow money from the banks or the PCAs or anything?
Not
like
after
that?
I got to Detroit Lakes.
How about before that then? Did you borrow from the bank?
No, I didn't borrow to farm. I borrowed to pay off my brothers and sisters.
To pay off the mortgages then,
yeah.
Primarily what you, yeah. You remember the interest rates you've paid in your lifetime?
Yeah, it was about 8%.
Well, that wasn't too bad by today's standards, but I would imagine in those days that was a big interest rate,
wasn't it? It was too bad with the price of grain we got, you know.
Was that part of what made it hard for you to make it in farming, was you had this mortgage and interest rates then? Is that why you had to work so hard to make a living?
Yeah, that was it.
That was the biggest problem you faced then.
And when I left, I knew I couldn't pay the interest on that and the taxes and everything. So there's nothing to do but to leave the farm. I rented it out to a fellow. I had a year's time to redeem it, you know.
Yeah.
So I rented it out, and that's about all the money I had. Okay. But I've been lucky.
Hard to save any money in a situation like that, isn't it?
Well, I saved a lot after I got to Detroit Lakes.
Yeah. When your girls grew up then, did you send them through school, through college?
Yeah, they all went to teacher's college.
Did you help them along the way, or did they have to finance that on their own?
No, we helped them. We hired a room in one of the residents near the school, and we brought them the bread and milk and cream and cheese and all that, so they can live for a week. And mm-hmm. they come home on Friday night, they were glad to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And they all graduated. And after they got to teaching, they went to summer school. Okay. So they got very good grades.
Did they all work as well as go to school then, or did they just go to school when they went to school? When they went to college, did they just go to college then?
Yes.
They didn't hold a job or anything like that?
Well, yes. Sometimes they'd get a job checking at the Red Owl. And Sonny got a job in Fargo at the mechanic shop there.
Did they go to high school in Yulin?
Yeah.
All four of them went through high school there then?
Dorothy went 1 year in Dilworth.
Oh.
She walked 2 miles across a plowed field.
Okay.
That was four buses going west, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she graduated from that. And then that was the year before we moved to Moorhead.
Okay. Very good. Their grade schools then, did most of your kids go to grade school in Yulin or near Yulin?
No, they went to grade school. Those beside Dorothy was in high school, and the rest was younger, you see, and mm-hmm. they were in high school there.
When you said you were on the school board, was it at Yulin and at the grade school that you were on?
That was at the grade school.
How many grades did they have there?
How many grades?
Yeah. Did they have like 8th grade education there or 6th grade?
I don't think so. They went by the book. When you get to certain books, why they said they could go to high school.
Oh, do you remember how many kids approximately were in that school?
Well, at one time there was just 2 kids there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You hired a teacher for 2 kids?
Yes.
Was that somebody in the community then, or did you bring somebody in from outside the community?
Oh, there was a neighbor woman that had had a teacher's certificate, okay. And she taught them. My wife taught there for 1 year.
Okay. What's the most kids then that you had, if 2 is the least?
Well, they had about 10 there later on.
Okay.
And then they agreed to build a new schoolhouse.
Oh.
And they did. And lo and behold, they sold it after 2 years. And they joined with the school in Newland. And they had the bus take the kids.
What kind of a bus did the kids have to go into Yulin?
Just like they got here in town.
Regular yellow school bus?
They type? Probably wasn't quite as big.
Yeah. When they went to grade school, did they walk to school or did they have a bus there? Or how did that
work?
Yeah,
they had about a mile and a half.
They walked?
Yeah.
That was common in those days in that area, wasn't it?
Dorothy had a little over 2 miles to go to high school in Dilworth.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a nationality background do you have? Where did your grandparents originally come from?
What?
What nationality do you claim to be for your background?
They're all Norwegians.
All Norwegians?
Yeah.
Do you know when your ancestors came from Norway to the United States? Do you know anything about that? If you don't, that's fine. If you have some information, that's fine, too.